So thank you all so much for joining again. Such a pleasure to be back on the call discussing Shubhrahat Bhagavatamrita. So we'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are continuing our study of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is book 2. And book 2 is titled Sri Goloka Mahatmya, The Glories of Goloka Vrindavan. This is the most awaited session. Book 2 is very, very popular because it has the story of Gopakumar going to the spiritual world. Om Ajnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swamin Iti Namine. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayatvishtarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vansha Kalpata Rubyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Yevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Please accept my humble obeisances, to all the Vaishnavas present on the call. Please bless me so that we may be able to discuss a few words from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we have already seen the story of Narada's search for the greatest devotee of the Lord in part 1. So we did 23 sessions in part 1 and we discussed the story in great detail. Any misconceptions that one may have about the science of pure devotional service, about the mercy of the Lord, about the true nature of pure devotees, all this can be removed when one attentively hears part 1 of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we are now in part 2, and part 2 of this book is about the glories of the supreme abode of the Lord, which is Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is a place where all the pure devotees who have received this essence of Krishna's mercy, the topmost mercy, the essence of Krishna's mercy, enjoy intimate association with Krishna and they taste infinite ecstasy in just being with the Lord and playing with Him. So that is the topic we will be discussing in book 2 of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Sanatan Goswami, when he begins book 2, he begins with a very beautiful prayer to Lord Gopinath. And he also offers a very lovely prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya's gem-like beauty, even a dull person like me can be inspired to dance wonderfully. So these are the words of Sri Sanatan Goswami. So we can imagine how much mercy we can get when we take shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya. And we'll be able to cross this endless ocean of material world and one day we will all be granted entrance into Goloka Vrindavan. So we have already seen the context of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Who spoke Brihad Bhagavatamrita to whom? It was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother Uttara. So that was the context. We have discussed this in great detail. And later, Sage Jaini, he spoke the same Brihad Bhagavatamrita that was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to Mother Uttara. He repeated the same content to Parikshit's son, Janamejaya. So, once this was repeated to Janamejaya, later there is another layer where Sanatan Goswami heard the Brihad Bhagavatamrita directly from the deity of Madan Mohan. So, like this, we have three layers. This is the Guru Parampara of hearing Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So So after Janamejaya, who is the son of Parikshit Maharaj, heard part one of Brihad Bhagavatamrita from Jaimini Rishi, he was extremely delighted. He was so happy and he exclaimed with a lot of excitement. He said, actually, my father, he has gathered the most essential truth from all possible literature, and with great love for Krishna, he has revealed this to his mother Uttara. This is the most confidential truth. I'm so happy to hear it. So Janamejaya, with great submission, he was accepting everything that Jaimini Rishi had told him, and he accepted it as completely authoritative and true. He was extremely happy. And now that Janamejaya had heard this part one of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is the very essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, he wanted to hear more. Just like how we see Parikshit Maharaj, when he was hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from his guru Shukadeva Goswami, every time Shukadeva Goswami was about to stop, Parikshit Maharaj was so excited, he wanted to hear more. He kept telling his guru Shukadeva Goswami, please continue to elaborate more on the glories of the Lord. So similarly, now that Janamejaya had heard the nectar of part one of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is the very essence of Bhagavatam, he wanted to hear more and more. So these scriptures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, they reveal the science of pure devotional service. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is described as being Srimat. Srimat means most beautiful. Srimad Bhagavatam is so beautiful. So just like how the ocean of milk, the Shiv Sagar as we call it, is the most beautiful ocean in this entire creation, similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest ocean among all scriptures. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, this ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is unfathomably so deep, and it is filled with the essence of all the scriptures. It is filled with nectarian realizations. So that is the beauty of Bhagavatam, and the essence has been churned out of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are listening to Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is the very essence of this beautiful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Jaimini, he was telling the story of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita to Janamejaya, and Janamejaya was getting more and more excited, and he was telling, I want to hear more, I want to hear more. So because he had heard with so much attention, he was relishing every word that Jaimini was telling. So he requested him to not stop and continue to elaborate more topics in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Jaimini Rishi, when he heard this request from his dear disciple, was very happy, and he told his disciple, Janamejaya, that it is actually impossible for a person to understand fully the topic of pure devotional service. Even great mystics and liberated souls, they all fail to understand the glories of the Lord completely. They don't really understand the glories of the spiritual world and the glories of the devotees of the Lord. Just like how the glories of the Lord is infinite, similarly, the glories of the spiritual world and the glories of the wonderful devotees of the Lord, that is also infinite. It is impossible to describe them perfectly, completely in detail. So, however, say Jaimini said, by the mercy of Shukadeva Goswami, I had the opportunity to actually sit next to Parikshit Maharaj as he was telling this to Mother Uttara, and I directly heard their conversation. So I was very blessed. So Jaimini was very, very eager to share whatever he had heard, because his most fortunate disciple, Janamejaya, was such a loyal disciple, and he was very much eager to hear. So when the audience is very eager to hear, obviously the speaker becomes more enthused to share more and more of what they have heard. So Jaimini said, after your mother Uttara, she heard about the narration of the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, she was very much filled with bliss, and she understood that this exceptional love and devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord Gopakishore, who's Gopinath, the lover of the gopis, it has a very, very special fruit. And Uttara, she knew that the place where this fruit is enjoyed is surely very special. It is much greater than the Vaikuntha that is generally known to people. So She was somewhat unsure. Uttara had a doubt in her mind. She was somewhat unsure that the place that Lord Krishna's most intimate pastimes were taking place in the spiritual world would be the same as the Vaikuntha that people know. So therefore, having this doubt in her mind, Uttara began to inquire further from her son. So now, let's shift our focus, our camera, to the place where Uttara and Parikshit were discussing. So Uttara, she told her son, she heard the first part of Bhagavatamrita, and she looked at her son and she said, "My dear son, we all know that by performing different kinds of auspicious duties, all the householders with material desires, they can attain a position in the three worlds." Which are the three worlds? Bhu, Bhuvar, Swargaloka. Okay? Just by performing auspicious duties that is assigned to householders with material desires, they can attain a place within the three worlds. One can reach even heaven, which is Swargaloka. So these auspicious duties that is prescribed for householders is actually given by the Vedas. So they include Nitya Karmas. Nitya Karmas is karmas that is related to day-to-day activities like bathing, chanting, doing Sandhya Vandana. All these are Nitya Karmas. Then there are Naimittika Karmas. So Naimittika Karmas are occasional duties, just like performing the birth ceremony, the thread ceremony, death ceremony. So all this is Naimittika Karma that is done occasionally. And then there is also something called as Kamya Karma. Kamya Karma is performing karmas desiring something. Just like, there is something called as the Putra Kameshti Yajna. So desiring a son, people perform certain austerities. So these austerities, when they are done, they are called as Kamya Karma because you're desiring something. Another very popular Kamya Karma is Jyotishoma sacrifice that is described in the Vedas. And by doing this, one attains heaven. So like this, there are many, many sacrifices that is prescribed in the Vedic literature. And people are into either doing they are into continuously performing Nitya Karma, Nainitika Karmas, as well as Kamya Karma throughout their life. So such excellent grihasthas who are observing these auspicious ritualistic activities, their destination becomes the Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, or the Swargaloka, that is the middle planetary systems. Then Uttara said, see, I am aware of this, okay? When you are a very good grihastha, when you are performing a lot of ritualistic activities, and when you are perfect in your varnashram, yes, you will attain these three places. Then she said, there are Naishtika Brahmacharis. They are Vanaprashtas. They are Sannyasis. So these people, out of their strict celibacy and austerities, they become qualified to reach higher planets like Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. Okay, that is the higher planetary systems. So they get an opportunity to go to these places. And a person who very strictly, without a single flaw, performs his occupational duties for hundreds of births, he can even take the post of Brahma. So all these facilities are available. So we see that the overall pattern is that anybody performing everything very nicely but still has the slightest material desire while performing these karmas has to again fall down. So they go, they are moving between these 14 worlds again and again. This was Uttara's realization. Then she continued to say, she said, not only that, there are people who are expert followers of the yoga system. They are some mystics. These mystics, they also travel through different planets or different planetary systems in the universe. And especially great mystics, they follow what is called as the Archidadi Marga, the Archis path. Okay, this is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Verses 24 to 31. The Archidadi Marga is described. So what is this? The first destination of these people as they travel through this path and stay in different universes, the first destination is called as Archis or Vaishvanara region. This region is ruled by the fire god. So beyond this Archis is the circle of the Sishumara. So this Sishumara is the turning pivot of Lord Vishnu's navel, okay, in the universal format. And beyond that, this mystic, he reaches Maharloka. That is the path he follows. He reaches Maharloka, and there he gets purified by taking the association of saints like Bhrigu Rishi. Then, after enjoying a very, very long life there in Maharloka, which is more than 4 billion years, then during the time of destruction of half of the universe, there is a great fire that emanates from Ananta's mouth, and the yogi sees that the lower planets are actually getting burned down, and he proceeds to Satyaloka. So there he resides for a very long period, very, very long period, for trillions of years. He resides there in Satyaloka. And on Satyaloka, it is mentioned that there is no old age or disease. So like this, he's enjoying through different planetary systems, and then finally he passes through the gross and the subtle coverings, and then he dissolves his ego in the Mahatattva, and then he comes to a point of pure self-realization. So then he gets liberated. So this is the gradual method of liberation for a yogi. When a yogi begins his practice, he goes through different levels, and gradually he attains liberation. So then Uttara told her son, yes, there are people who also attain gradual liberation. And not only are there great mystics who attain gradual liberation like this, following in the path of Archis, but also there are some very great Paramahamsas who attain liberation quite fast without going through this entire process at the end of their lives. Then she said, however, there are some Vaishnava devotees. These Vaishnava devotees, they are far more elevated than the non-devotee Paramahamsa. Although Vaishnavas are sure candidates of liberation because of the mercy of the Lord, because they always think that they are the servant of the Lord, because they are always dependent on the mercy of the Lord, they don't think that they are the doers. Vaishnavas always have this consciousness, so for them liberation becomes much easier. Though Vaishnavas are sure candidates of liberation, still, even among Vaishnavas, even among devotees, there are Sakama Bhaktas. That means devotees with material desires. Okay? So devotees with material desires, we still want to enjoy. Enjoyment has still not gone. Now these devotees, Sakama devotees, they are also in a much better position than ordinary Karmis or Jnanis. And still they are not under the direct laws of material nature, because they are under the power of the Lord's devotional service. Bhakti Devi is controlling them. So though they are having certain material desires, this power of pure devotional service is going to purify them, and it will remove whatever obstacles that they are still having in their heart. They need some purification, but that is guaranteed. They will undergo purification by the mercy of bhakti. So this process itself is very purifying. So while these Vaishnavas are still living in this world with their material desires, they also happen to go through different universes. They can reside in Maharloka, they can reside in some of the upper planetary systems. And not only that, they can even attain certain lokas like Shvetadvipa and Ramapriya Loka. What is this? This is the Shweta Dvipa, that is the abode of Shirodakashayi Vishnu, near the ocean of milk. They can even attain that abode. This is an extension of Vaikuntha that is there within this material universe. So they can go there, and they can even relate with the Lord. They can associate with devotees even in this extension of the spiritual world. They can even attain Ramapriya Loka. So this Ramapriya Loka is actually there above Satya Loka, it is mentioned. And it is also called as Karya Vaikuntha. Some of you might have heard this word, Karya Vaikuntha. It is a Vaikuntha that is there within this universe. And if you remember, in the Bhagavatam, there is an incarnation of the Lord called as Vaikuntha. He was born to his father Vikuntha and Shubhra. I think it was during the fifth Manvantara. He was the Manvantara avatara, and he was an incarnation of the Lord. Because he wanted to satisfy his dear consort, Rama Devi, he created another Vaikuntha within this universe. So that loka is called as Rama Priya Loka. Rama is Lakshmi, Rama, Rama Devi. So therefore it is called as Rama Priyaloka, and that is also called as Karya Vaikuntha, and it is a place where people get training before they go to Haridham Vaikuntha, which is beyond the Viraja River. Okay. So Uttara was telling that people who still have some material desires, they don't cross the Viraja River, but still they undergo certain, they take some more birth. They go through different planets in the higher planetary system. And also sometimes some people who get further purified, they even enter places like the Shweta Dvipa, which is there within this universe, which is the abode of Shirodakshay Vishnu, and they can also go to Rama Priyaloka. So like this, these devotees, they are going through different stages of purification. And once their material business is completely finished, then they cross the Viraja and they attain the Lord's eternal abode in the spiritual world. Now this eternal abode is called as Vaikuntha, and it is beyond this material world, and it is made of concentrated ecstasy of pure consciousness. Everybody is pure, everybody is enjoying extreme ecstasy, bliss, everybody is extremely happy. So the Lord's devotees who are free from desires can actually enter this realm. So like this Mandar Uttara, she knew a lot, and in detail she was telling her son about the difference between this material world and the spiritual world. And she said she was very much aware of the spiritual world Vaikuntha and what is seen in Vaikuntha, what kind of devotees ultimately attain this realm. So like this Mother Uttara told her son, that see, there are many planets in this universe and there is this transcendental spiritual world as well. So I'm aware of all this and I can understand that people have attained all these planets. She was having a doubt in her mind and she was yet to ask her question. Before that, we also understand that Parikshit Maharaj, who was listening to this description from Uttara, was also aware of the descriptions of the spiritual world because he had already heard it from Shukadeva Goswami. So Parikshit had heard complete descriptions of the spiritual world from the second canto, when the Lord reveals his transcendental abode to Brahma. So this is described in canto 2, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, and many other places. The spiritual world Vaikuntha is revealed, and Parikshit gets to hear in detail about the spiritual world. You just read two verses, okay? There are plenty of verses throughout Bhagavatam that talk about Vaikuntha. Anyway, we'll just pick two verses. The personality of Godhead, being thus very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, free from all kind of miseries and fear of illusory existence. In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is any of their influence, that is the modes of ignorance and passion's influence on the mode of goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. So these are some descriptions of the spiritual world about how it is transcendental in nature. So Uttara, she was explaining to Parikshit Maharaj, I understand that the spiritual world is completely transcendental. And Parikshit Maharaj was also very much aware of this fact. So Uttara, she told Parikshit, not only was she aware of the abode of the Lord, but she was also aware of this place or this destination called as Brahmajyoti. And this Brahmajyoti is the effulgence of the Lord, right? It's emanating from the effulgence. So therefore she said, I also know that there is Brahmajyoti, and generally devotees don't like to go to Brahmajyoti because there is no personal association of the Lord. Then she said, but among the people who desire to go to this spiritual realm, they are all bhaktas, right? They are all devotees. Still, all among these devotees also, there is some gradation. So slowly she's coming to the question that she's about to ask. So she said, even among bhaktas, there are some gradations. There are some devotees who are attached to knowledge, to jnana, jnana mishra bhaktas, and they are also shuddha bhaktas. Among the shuddha bhaktas also, there are some gradations. Some are situated in love of God, others are immersed in love of God, yet others are spiritually overwhelmed by love of God. So even among the pure devotees, still further there are gradations. So jnana bhaktas, they develop devotional service that is mixed with knowledge. Their interest, it focuses on the greatness and the greatness and devotion. You know, that is their interest. They are always focusing on the greatness of the Lord and the greatness of the devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. For them, devotional service actually is seen with a lot of greatness towards the entire process of devotion. And it is concentration on the nine processes of devotional service. And one such Jnana Mishra Bhakta is actually Bharat Maharaj, who was the son of Rishabhadev. So that is Jnana Mishra Bhakta. One example is Bharat Maharaj. Next is Shuddha Bhaktas. Shuddha Bhaktas, they want only pure devotional service without any mixture of fruitive work or knowledge or renunciation. Actually, Ambarish Maharaj is a Shuddha Bhakta. He is an example of Shuddha Bhakta. He was following the nine processes of devotional service but without any mixture. He didn't have any mixture of jnana or karma. So it was pure devotional service. Then further, there are Prema Bhaktas. These Prema Bhaktas, like Hanuman, they have ecstatic love. They serve the Lord personally with a lot of enthusiasm. They are very exalted to serve the Lord, and they have a lot of loving affection for the Lord, and they are always waiting for opportunities to serve the Lord. So we have already seen what kind of devotion Hanuman had in our part 1. And beyond devotees like Hanuman are Prema Parabhaktas, like Arjuna. Arjuna, he had ecstatic love. His love was very different from the love that is seen in Hanuman. So we also took the example of Arjuna in our part 1, and we saw how his love was very different and it was more concentrated. Arjuna's love towards Krishna. And beyond these Prema Para devotees are Prematura devotees. So these Prematura Bhaktas, the example is that of Uddhava. So when we saw our part 1 journey, we saw that after the Pandavas, we also saw the love that was shown by the Yadus. So the love that was shown by the Yadus towards Krishna was much, much more concentrated, right? So they are called as the Prematura Bhaktas. So very, very, very concentrated, blissful prema. That kind of very close relationship they have with Krishna. So they relish the transformations of prema that is related to all ecstasies. So that kind of love is shown by them. So we say that within Shuddha Bhakti itself, there are so many grades. So Uttara was telling Parikshit that Vaishnavas, they develop love to different extents, right? We saw in part 1 different kinds of devotees. We saw the Prayag Brahmana, we saw the Southern King, then we saw the love that Indra had, we saw what kind of relationship Brahma shared. And then after that, we were seeing Prahlad, we saw the love that Prahlad showed, we saw how Hanuman was with the Lord, how the Pandavas were, how the Yadus were, and finally we saw the love of the Gopis. So we see that though there are so many kinds of devotees, all these devotees are not the same. They all don't have the same extent of love or the same concentration of love. Their love is at different grades, different extents. So therefore, it is only logical that they all attain different destinations. So this is the doubt that is there in Uttara's mind. So in Vaikuntha, you know, the general Vaikuntha that we call the spiritual world, that is known as Haridham, where mostly Dasya Rasa is seen, it is actually a very beautiful place in the spiritual world. And there is generally, when we say spiritual world, that means we don't see hierarchies in a very gross sense. Oh, this person is better, I am less. We don't see that in the spiritual world. Everybody is equal in front of, in the way they are dealing with the Lord. Everybody is very happy. Everybody is satisfied. Everybody is showing their love in Dasya Rasa. But still, even there are different grades of love of God. So we see that some associates, they enjoy some intimate dealings with the Lord. Like some devotees may be engaged in dressing the hair of the Lord. Some devotees are engaged in massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. Yet there are some devotees who are standing as gatekeepers and who are slow at a little distance. So though everybody is equal, everybody is completely satisfied in the service that they are doing, still there appears to be some varying degrees in happiness that is natural. Okay? The person who is actually there in the spiritual world, he never feels that his happiness is less. Whatever happiness he is feeling is actually complete according to him. But still, from outside when we see that there is some various degrees in the prema or degrees in the happiness that these devotees are actually enjoying. According to the sthayi bhav or the predominating mood of ecstatic rasa, he receives a particular degree of happiness. But still, he feels that his happiness is most complete and perfect. So actually in the spiritual world, there is no question of any kind of competition of higher and lower positions. Everyone is just impelled by pure love. But at the same time, there are still some differences in the degrees. So having understood this point, that actually everyone's relationship with Krishna is completely unique, but still intimate dealings of some devotees are much greater than the others, keeping this in mind, Uttara, she expressed her doubt. She said, there are Jnana Mishra devotees, there are Prema Bhaktas, there are Prema Para Bhaktas, there are Prema Tura Bhaktas, but there are devotees who are even greater than them. There are even devotees greater than the Yadus, like the Gopis. So she was wondering, where is their place in the spiritual world? Are they also going to attain the same place in the spiritual world? Is that logical? Is that logical for the Gopis to attain the same place in the spiritual world as other devotees? Is it logical for Nanda and Yashoda to have the same place in the spiritual world? Shouldn't there be a place where they enjoy supreme happiness that is the topmost? This was Uttara's doubt. Actually, Uttara was implying that the Shuddha Bhaktas, in their worship, they should enjoy greater ecstasy than the Jnana Bhaktas. The Prema Bhaktas and the Prematura Bhaktas should enjoy more happiness than the Shuddha Bhaktas. And the super excellent devotees, the most intimate devotees of Vrindavan, they should have a very special place where they enjoy complete happiness with Krishna. So, was her question valid? In the spiritual world, do we have special places like this? What does Shastra say? Is it true? Is it true that within Vaikuntha there are so many other places, a place beyond Haridham Vaikuntha, or within the spiritual world there are different abodes for different kinds of devotees? Is the question valid? So the Skanda Purana explains, Ya yatha bhuvi vartante puryo bhagavata priya tastata santi vaikunte tat tallila tam adrita. On this earth, there are many sacred cities which are dear to the personality of Godhead. And all of them, all the dhams, they exist in Vaikuntha or the spiritual world, and they are revered for the Lord's various pastimes. So based on the Lord's various pastimes, there are various dhams in the spiritual world. So this is also there in Shastra. Vaikuntha has many transcendental realms. So when we use the word Vaikuntha, sometimes we just mean to say the portion where the four-armed form of the Lord is present, the Haridhama as we call it, or the abode of Lord Narayana and his various forms. But Vaikuntha, in general usage, when we say Vaikuntha, we just say the spiritual world, which includes all the other dhams, not only the Narayana Loka, it also includes everything like Ayodhya and other places. Okay, so sometimes we use the word Vaikuntha just to imply a particular portion of the spiritual world. Sometimes we will be using Vaikuntha to imply the whole picture of the spiritual world, which is there beyond the Viraja. So this entire spiritual world, Vaikuntha, it has transcendental realms like Ayodhya and Dwaraka. Just like how on earth we have many dhams where the Lord's associates and paraphernalia are found, all the dhams are filled with so many associates of the Lord, and there are so many paraphernalia for worship of the Lord, right? All the dhams to remind us of the pastimes of the Lord. There are so many paraphernalia available. Similarly, in the spiritual world also, there are many dhams that are filled with different kinds of Lord's associates and different kind of paraphernalia. Example, Hanuman. Hanuman, he is constantly serving Lord Ramachandra, and Ramachandra accompanied by Sita and Lakshman in the spiritual world known as Ayodhya. So beyond the Viraja, in Vaikuntha, there is also the spiritual realm of Ayodhya. Similarly, in Dwaraka, the spiritual Dwaraka, the Yadus are present and they are worshipping the son of Devaki as their supreme Lord, as their worshipable Lord. So like this, beyond this world also, the same dhams that we see on earth are also present in the spiritual world. And it is full of devotees and it is full of interesting pastimes that are happening there. So Uttara, she wanted to specifically know about the special destination, very special destination that awaits the most exceptional devotees whose overflowing spontaneous love is so concentrated. Who are these devotees? They are the gopis who have the spontaneous love to the lotus feet of Gopinath Nandakishore. So these servants of Sri Radhika, these topmost servants of Sri Radhika, they are filled with pure love, and the privilege of serving Radhika, Radharani, is actually the rarest goal of life. And this privilege is only attained by those who can perform very, very good sadhana, extremely good sadhana. Serving Radharani is not all that easy. Very few people are granted that boon of serving Srimati Radhika. So this great privilege of serving Radharani is possible only when one has extremely good sadhana. So their hearts are completely filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. So Uttara was asking about these devotees, like the gopis who are constantly serving Radha Krishna. Not only was she asking for the gopis, she was also asking for the other great devotees of Vrindavan, like Nanda and Yashoda. So she said, if the gopis, if the greatest of the devotees like the gopis, or if great devotees like Nanda and Yashoda are going to attain the same position as some other devotee in Vaikuntha, my heart won't be content. I will have some discontent in my heart. I don't feel good about it. So tell me, please tell me, my dear son, is there a suitable place for them beyond this Vaikuntha that we all know of, beyond this Haridam? Is there a suitable place for them in the spiritual world? And that place, these devotees should not feel that the Lord is the supreme controller. Awe and reverence should not be there. Is there a place like that where there is no awe and reverence towards the Lord? Where all these awe and reverence is very impeding to pure love. Prema cannot be felt. Pure love, Shuddha Bhakti, filled with ecstasy, cannot be felt when there is a lot of reverence towards the Lord. Oh, you are my master. When that is there, there is, the pure love cannot be exchanged between Krishna and his devotees. Especially just imagine the gopis having that reverence. That would be very awkward. So therefore, Uttara was asking, is there such a place where only these devotees can be present? It should be the most attractive abode. It should be sweeter than the sweetest. It should be the most unique, the most blissful place. And it should be simply so amazing that it is so hard to describe such a superior place, and only great saints like maybe Narada can describe the glories of such a place. So Uttara asked, Parikshit, my dear son, please reveal it to me. I am in so much confusion. Somehow please rescue me. Tell me, please tell me that there is a better place for these dear associates of the Lord. She said, I'm not very intelligent. I'm not able to ascertain the identity of such a place. And she says, it's so beautiful, very poetic, the sentence. She says, I am lost in an ocean of sadness, in waves of doubts and currents of confusion, she says. So you please reveal this place by describing it in words and lift me out of this ocean of sorrow. So like this, she requests her son. And hearing this very pleasing inquiry from his mother, Parikshit Maharaj was so moved. He was so happy. Tears were flowing from his eyes. His voice was choked up, his bodily hairs were standing, and with so much love and respect towards his mother, he bowed down in front of his mother and he began to reply with great difficulty. He said, "My dear mother, you are so glorious because you're asking such a wonderful question. You are Sri Krishna Jivita." Parikshit, he called his mother Sri Krishna Jivita. That means one who lives only for Sri Krishna. Her whole life was for Sri Krishna. She cannot bear a minute separation from Sri Krishna. Not only does Sri Krishna Jivita mean one who cannot live without Krishna, it also means one who was brought to life by Sri Krishna. How do we know that she cannot bear a moment separation from Krishna? Is there any pramana for that? There is a pramana from Bhagavatam. There is a verse in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. We'll read those verses. Shubhadra Draupadi Kunti Viratatanaya Tata Gandhari Dhritarashtascha Yuyutsur Gautamo Yamau Vrikodascha Dhyaumyascha Triyo Matsya Sutadaya Nasehire Vimuhyanto Viraham Sharangadhanava. At that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yuyutsu, Kripacharya, Nakula Sahadeva, Bhimasena, Daumya, and Satyavati all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear separation from Lord Krishna. So we see that Uttara was one of the chief persons who actually almost fainted when Krishna was departing to Dwaraka. So she loved Krishna so much and she couldn't bear a single minute of separation from Sri Krishna. Also, not only that, in that commentary, actually Sanatana Goswami makes another point. He says that, okay, you may say there are so many other devotees who couldn't bear separation, so what is so special about this Uttara? So for that, Sanatana Goswami says, here the word Viratakanya, obviously, she was the daughter of the king Virata. So, the word Virata Tanaya can imply Uttara. Not only that, there is also another word called as Matsya Suta. Actually, Sanatana Goswami is saying both these words actually imply Uttara only. Now, Matsya Suta can imply Satyavati because she is also Matsya Suta. We know the story, she was raised by a fisherman, right? So, Matsya Suta can also imply Satyavati, but Sanatana Goswami is giving a different angle for us to think. He's saying, actually, both these words imply Uttara. Uttara is mentioned twice in this verse. How is that? Because Uttara's father, this King Virata, he was also an adopted son of the fisherman. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, actually, Uttara is mentioned twice in this verse. So she's very, very special. And not only that, Uttara was actually protected from the Brahmastra that was, released by this Ashwatthama, right? So Krishna, very sweetly, he went inside the womb of Uttara. So imagine how special a devotee Uttara must be. That Krishna himself went inside the womb and he gave protection to Parikshit Maharaj. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami writes in his commentary that this Uttara is very, very special. Otherwise, how can she ask such a wonderful question, right? So anyway, Parikshit, he called her Krishna Jivita because she was also saved by Krishna, right? When the Brahmastra came, she was saved personally by Krishna. So Parikshit also said, only you, my mother, because you're Krishna Jivita, only you can ask such a praiseworthy question with so much devotional attitude because you have so much love for Krishna. Nobody could have asked such a wonderful question. What a perfect question you have asked. And she said, actually, in fact, nobody has even, Parikshit said, in fact, nobody has even asked this question before. So you are really, really wonderful. So before Parikshit began answering his mother's wonderful question, first he began glorifying Krishna. He first thanked Krishna for all the special favor that Krishna had shown Parikshit. So Parikshit said, Lord Krishna has actually been extremely merciful towards me. He gave me the privilege to be born in this land of Bharatavarsha, which is actually a very great privilege. And I got this opportunity to be born in a human species of life. Everyone knows the importance of human species of life. That is our very first lesson in Krishna consciousness, right? So, Atato Brahma Jignasa, now that you are a human, inquire into the Supreme. That is the greatest gift you've got, this human body. So, utilize it properly. So, Parikshit said, I'm so glad. First of all, I was born in this Punya Bhumi, Bharatavarsham. And then, not only that, I was born in a human species of life. And the greater thing is that I was born from your womb. That was personally protected by Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna came and he made that womb transcendental. And I got an opportunity to take birth from that womb. I was protected by Krishna personally. So therefore, I am extremely fortunate. Krishna has blessed me so wonderfully. And not only that, since I have taken birth from your womb, that means I have taken birth from the daughter-in-law of Arjuna and Subhadra. And who is Subhadra? Subhadra is directly the sister of Krishna. So among all the wives of Arjuna, especially Subhadra is very, very special because she is the direct sister of Krishna, right? So I have taken birth in this family, that too from your womb, in such a wonderful place, in the human species of life. Who can be more fortunate than me? Krishna personally appeared and with his club and his disc, he was giving protection. This is also very beautifully described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, verses 8, 9, and then we'll read verse 30. These verses are very beautiful about Krishna giving protection to Parikshit. 1:12:8. The Lord was only thumb high, that was the sign, but he was all transcendental. He had a beautiful, blackish, infallible body, and he wore a dress of lightning yellow and a helmet of blazing gold. Thus, he was seen by the child. So this was the form of Krishna that Parikshit saw. The Lord was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury because he was very angry. He had loitered about. His club constantly encircled him like a shooting star. Verse number 30. So, his son, that is, so once Parikshit got the darshan of the Lord in the womb, it is said in the future verses that this son would become famous in this world as Parikshit, the examiner, because he would examine all human beings in search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. So this was the darshan he got in the womb. We read two verses of the beauty of the Lord that Parikshit saw in the womb. And in the later verses, it is explained how Parikshit got this name Parikshit. Because once he was born, he used to examine all human beings. He used to search after the personality he saw in before his birth. So anybody he would see, he would examine. Is this the person I saw in the womb? Like that, he would examine everyone. So therefore, he got the name Parikshit, one who examined. Thus he became constantly known. Thus he would constantly contemplate on the Lord. So anybody and everybody he saw after that, he would think, was this the person I saw in the womb? Like that, constantly he was thinking of Krishna, and he always remembered Krishna throughout his life. So this was Parikshit Maharaj. Anyway, actually there's a beautiful purport. I don't want to read that purport because it's going to take time. But if at all you all get an opportunity, please read the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 1:12:30 by Srila Prabhupada. Please note the verse 1:12:30. Canto 1, Chapter 12, verse number 30. It talks about Parikshit Maharaj, how he was so fortunate because he had the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb. And then the commentary of Jiva Goswami is given there. And then Prabhupada talks about his own life. So please read that. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Prabhupada talks about himself in that purport, about the blessings that he received as a child. Okay? So therefore, Parikshit, he received blessings right from the beginning of his life. And also because of these blessings given by Krishna, he developed a lot of saintly qualities like respect for the Brahmanas, very strict adherence to promises, taking care of people, etc. In fact, the ruling of Parikshit is being described elaborately in Bhagavatam. Again, Canto 1, Chapter 12, 19 to 25, these verses talk about how Parikshit Maharaj had such wonderful qualities and he ruled the kingdom very nicely. So like this, Parikshit was explaining that from birth everything was good. Though everything went well, I had developed good qualities by the mercy of the Lord. One fine day, however, I lost all the royal interest when I was cursed to die in 7 days by Sringi, the son of Shanik Rishi. So he said everything was going good, yes. But then one fine day I received a curse. But I understood that curse is also a great benediction. Because this was very, very beneficial. Otherwise, how could I got the opportunity to go and sit on the river Ganges, on the banks of the river Ganges, and listen to Shukadev Goswami? In fact, I was so fortunate, I was so blessed by the Lord that not only did I get this curse, but also I got the information that I was cursed, right? See, that Sringi, he cursed Parikshit in Parikshit's absence. But somebody happened to go and tell Parikshit that he has been cursed. That itself is a big blessing, to know that you are cursed, right? What if Parikshit didn't know that he was cursed? So he got the information that he was cursed, and he had the good sense to go to the banks of the river Ganges, and Shukadeva Goswami came there, and he had the opportunity to hear about the Lord, his pastimes, different topics about the Lord. So he said, I am so fortunate. And because I have heard all these from a great authority, I will be able to answer your question. So now Parikshit, after he talks about the Lord, he glorifies the Lord, he tells about his qualification. What is my qualification to tell you? What is my qualification to answer your question? It is only because of the mercy of the Lord. And not only that, it is by the mercy of my spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami. Then he said, actually, your question is very good. And I just have a few moments for my death. I'm going to die in a few moments. But see, the Lord's mercy didn't stop here. The Lord's mercy is continuing. The Lord has extended these few moments just for you so that I can finish speaking the next part of Rig Bhagavatamrita. So Parikshit said, by the mercy of the Lord, these few moments for my death, somehow by the Lord's mercy has been extended by his potency. He says this, and then he tells his mother, there are two ways I can answer your question. I can explain all the statements of the Smritis and the Shrutis, the revealed scriptures and the heard scriptures, everything I can tell you in detail. We can go through all the Vedanta Sutras, and then we can churn it, and we can understand the direct meaning, the implied meaning. We can do all that. But I prefer to tell you the answer by relating a beautiful history which I personally learned from Shukadeva Goswami. I will tell you that history, and that history, that beautiful story, will give you the answer to your question. Is there a place for the gopis of Vrindavan? Is there a place for the wonderful associates of Lord Sri Gopakishore? Is there a place like that? That answer I will tell you in the form of a story. This narration, you please hear with a lot of attention. That is the essence of everything that you must know. And this narration will dispel all your doubts. So Parikshit said that, and we will stop here. We will hear the story in our next session. Any questions, comments, realizations? Think we went a little long.
Such a beautiful, beautiful class. We were seriously waiting for these sessions of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Glad you are back and you resumed your classes. Thank you so much. Can you explain a little bit once more the three types of Shuddha Bhaktas you were seeing?
So, the three types of Shuddha Bhakta. The first example is given that of Ambarish Maharaj. He was following the 9 processes of devotional service without any mixture of jnana or karma. And then the next was Hanuman. He had very pure devotion. He was always in the active service. He was into active service, but still, the Dasya Rasa had reverence, right? So he's called as a Prema Bhakta. The next level is Prema Para Bhakta, who was in complete ecstasy, like Arjuna. He would be in ecstasy when he was with Krishna. And then the Prema Tura Bhakta, who are literally in so much bliss that they cannot control themselves, like the Yadavas, like Uddhava especially. So very similar to part one, we saw the gradations in part one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So similar gradations mm-hmm. are given here.
Okay. So prema bhakta, then prema pura bhakta, then prema para bhakta, and then prema pura bhakta.
Tura.
So gopis P-U-R-A. Are beyond.
Yeah, prema tura bhakta.
Prema tura bhakta, P-U-R-A. And then devotees, and then gopis are beyond that.
Beyond that. Yeah, much beyond that.
Yeah. Is there any term for them too?
No, I couldn't find any in the book at least. Yeah. Oh. Or in the lectures.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for setting up the stage for part two of Brihad Bhagavatam with her and waiting for the story now. Thank you.
Thank you Hare so Krishna. Much. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you, Dandavad.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Very, very wonderful and ecstatic. I don't know if I'm speaking with mute or not. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Thank you, Komodaki Mataji.
Yes. It was very, very wonderful. Can I say something? I hope you will not get...
No, please tell.
I don't want to criticize or anything.
Yeah.
It's not a
Hare prema. Krishna Mataji, can you remove your headset, Mataji?
Two words. Prema and atur. Atur means anxious. And prema means love. You know that. So it's a prematur.
Prema.
Two words together, it's called prematur.
Not prematur, prematur.
Yes, okay, the two words. You. Prema and atur. Atur, you know, atur, very, very anxious. That's atur.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Mataji. That helps. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Very, very wonderful. I've been waiting for all this time. Very nice. Kirti Dasuri Mataji has put in words everything very nicely. I don't know much about it. It's very, very wonderful class, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Komodaki Mataji. Your presence makes everything extra special. Thank you.
It's an actor. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Priti Vilasini Mataji. Oh, yes, as Kirti Dasundari Mataji was saying, we were so anxiously waiting. So thank you so much for this. I was just thinking, and I don't know if this is a nice thing to say or anything, but I was just thinking that, you know, Parikshit Maharaj was saying how he was blessed because he knew when he was going to die. And I was just thinking, you know, I am not one who is obviously going through any health crisis, but what a different type of mentality or thought process to have. I mean, only a pure devotee can have that kind of mentality that, you know, if he is suffering some kind of a death is hanging over him. Of course, death is hanging over everybody, but just knowing that, you know, you have a limited time, then having that mindset that it's a blessing because now I can focus on the Lord is just incomprehensible to me. But, you know, I was just thinking of, like, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and these other, you know, senior devotees who have that kind of mindset, you know, it's amazing, just seeing that. And I was also thinking, what a wonderful name, Sri Krishna. Tell me again the name for Uta, Sri Krishna Ratina.
Jivita.
Sri Krishna Jivita. What a nice name. What a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Paneshwar Mataji, for sharing.
Hare Krishna Priti Vilasini Gopi, Shishirada Gopinath ki jai, Shirihat Bhagavatam ki jai. Your association ki jai. After a long time, we get your association. I miss your 20-minute lecture because of some responsibility, but I hear it again. Thank you very much. Koti Koti Dandas Pradam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudevani, Pujai. You inspire us to hear Sachi Bhagavatam. You inspire us to hear Sachi Chaitanya Charanam. Without saying single word, just seeing to me, I understand who I am not attending Sachi Bhagavatam class when you are in Atlanta. I remember that day. Thank you very much for correcting us, for guide us, inspiring us. Dandas Pradam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudevani, Srila Bhagavatam, Pujai.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you for your very inspiring association. We will.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for class. Just very quick question. That name that you just mentioned for Phanishri Mataji was Krishna what?
Sri Krishna Jeevita.
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 Yes, Mataji.
And Jeevita means?
Jeeva is life, right? One who lives for Krishna, the meaning can imply one who was brought to life by Krishna. It can imply one who lives only for Krishna, one who cannot bear separation from Krishna. Life is life.
And that was another name for Uttara.
Yes.
And also, can you just repeat what was her question, her very unique question?
Oh yeah, the question itself was, is there a place, special place in the spiritual world for the gopis and for the dear devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, the intimate devotees?
Is there a place in the spiritual world for Krishna's devotees?
Yeah, for Krishna's dear devotees, yeah. For the intimate devotees of Raja, is there a place in the spiritual world? Special place. That is, you know, basically her question is there a place? The answer is Goloka Vrindavan. That is what the story will be all about. Exploring the place. Where is Goloka Vrindavan? What are the glories of Goloka Vrindavan?
Right. Okay, Manji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank
you so much, Mataji. Very nice class. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you, Ashray Radha, Mataji. Thanks for logging in.
Thank you, Mataji.
Please sing for us something, whatever you like to sing, Mataji.
What, Mataji?
Can you sing whatever you like to sing, like a Gopi Gita or from Sisi Bhagavatama, Brihat Bhagavatam, some sloka, or from some prayers, Narad Muni prayers? Whatever you like to sing, sing for us, Mataji.
I'm not so good at singing, but I can try something.
Yes, Mataji. The bhav is important. The voice is not important.
Okay, let me try this. Okay. Shall we do Gopi Gita? Okay.
Yes, Mataji. Jai Ho.
तव कथामृतं तप्तजीवनं कविभिरीडितं कल्मषापकं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भूवि क्रीणन्ति ये भूरितजनः जयति तेदिकं जन्मना व्रजा श्रयत इन्दिरा शाश्वतात्र हि दयितदृश्यतां दीक्षुतावकास्त्वयिदृता सव स्वां विचिन्वते. Is that enough, Mataji? Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Beautiful, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Paneshwari. I think Lavanya Mataji wanted to say something.
Yes, Mataji, yeah. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. It's been so long since we heard you. Good that you came back. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Lavanya.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Ramit Pranam. All blessed Srila Prabhupada called on Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Mataji, for starting this session. There were so many queries from the internet also, from the Facebook also, that when is Mataji going to start the classes? So we are glad that you have started it.
So Madhuri, just for my clear understanding, so like after Parikshit Maharaj heard from Sukadev Goswami, and then he went to Mother Uttara to tell her about it. What is the background? Sorry if I missed up some part in the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Sita Priti Mataji. Yes. So you were asking the context. Yes. So both the part one and the part two were spoke. It's actually a conversation between Parikshit and his mother Uttara. That is the first layer. It so happened that after Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days, he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami on the banks of the river Ganges. And then when he was about to get ready, you know, he just had a few moments left. At that time, Mother Uttara came running to her son and she asked her son, please tell me the essence of whatever you have heard. Because I am, you know, I don't have the great opportunity to sit with sages and hear from them. But I'm very, you know, I desire to know what is the essence of all that you have heard. So then Parikshit begins to, by the mercy of the Lord, as it's again mentioned here. Similarly, I think even in the first part, it is mentioned that by the mercy of the Lord, those few moments were extended for the sake of Uttara. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj began the narration of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And first he narrated part one, which is the search for the greatest devotee of the Lord, which we discussed in detail. And then now Uttara further questions him, asks him about the special place for these devotees. Because we just realized in part one that the topmost devotees of the Lord are the gopis of Vrindavan, right? So therefore, Uttara's natural question was then, is there a special place for them? Because you can't put them in the same place as other devotees because they are so special. So that is part two. And this is the first context. That is the conversation between Parikshit and his mother Uttara. And when Parikshit was telling everything to his mother, at that time, say Jaimini had the opportunity to sit and listen. So therefore, later Jaimini related the same story to his son, Parikshit's son, Janamejaya. And that was also recorded as one of the appendix of the Mahabharata spoken by Jaimini. So therefore, we have Vaishampayana's Mahabharata, right? That's what we follow now. So there is also a Mahabharata written by Jaimini, which was actually spoken to Janamejaya. And so the appendix of Jaimini's Mahabharata is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, just like how the appendix of Vaishampayana's Mahabharata is Harivamsha Purana. So like that. Okay. And of course, the same story was the third layer of this is that the same story was received by Sanatana Goswami through Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan of Vrindavan. Okay.
Wow. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Preeti Vilasini Mataji, I have one question.
Yes.
So during that time when Parikshit was listening to the to Sukadeva Goswami, so were only sages there? I just remember that Naimisharanya there were 10,000 or I don't know how many thousands of sages. So just sages were there, right?
When the conversation between Parikshit and Uttara was going on, not necessarily.
No. The conversation when Sukadeva Goswami was narrating the Bhagavatam, were there only sages there?
Yeah, right.
Can I? Right, and I just vaguely remember that it was because when you were saying that Uttara said I didn't have the opportunity to sit and listen, and I was just thinking, yeah, that makes sense because. Yeah. There were, I don't know, 10,000 sages or something were there only, or something, some number was there, I can't remember, but it was pin drop silence
everyone
conversation. Yeah, mm-hmm. Conversation was going on. So I was just thinking, oh yeah, that's right. So even thinking about that, we have this opportunity by the grace of Srila Prabhupada to hear this again. If at that time even other people who were there during that time, other women or other, you know, other non-sages basically were even there during that time, they didn't have the opportunity to hear this. You know, okay. Only those people that were in that assembly were able to hear that. I mean, just thinking about that is just mind-boggling. What opportunity, what punya, what, you know, mercy. Actually, it's not our punya, it's complete mercy of Srila Prabhupada that every one of us is able to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. mind-boggling. It just, you know, it makes you realize much more, with much more grateful heart, the wonderful mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
Very true. Very, very true. And see how nice it is now, right? You can sit in the comfort of your home and listen to everything. It's so nice. Read everything, the book distribution and...
And over and over again, right? Because it's not like you heard it once, tough, you got it, you know, you got to remember it. Now we can just read over and over again. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yes. Yes, what Panishri Mataji, the crux, the gist, what she said is really true. But also want to point out that all the sages were not present when Sukadev Goswami was telling the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, it's only Suta Goswami was present, and then Suta Goswami narrated to all the rishis of Naimisharanya.
Yes, yes. Right. Yes, thank you, Mataji. Thank you, yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji. Thanks for that, yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you so much.
Mataji, Krishna Jeevani is Tulasi name, right? There are some names of Tulasi. I think that...
What's that again?
Krishna Jeevani, you said, right? That is Tulasi's name also, right?
Krishna Jeevita.
Yeah, it could be Vinaya Mataji,
Tulasi's another name is Krishna Jeevani, but here Preeti Vilasini is mentioning about Jeevita, which is Uttara's name.
Okay, Mataji, I remember it's almost same, then that's why I was thinking it's also called Tulasi name, and that's what I was thinking. Yeah, thank you, Mataji, for that difference. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ketita Mataji. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this wonderful nectar again, starting this session and sharing this wonderful nectar. And we are so fortunate, Mataji, to hear this. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Supriya Mataji, for the encouragement. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, people. Please go ahead, Mataji.
My questions have got thrown up. Oh my God, I just blanked. So I know one thing I wanted to say was that I just heard this morning from Shankar Rishi Prabhu that the number of sages present, I guess when Sutta Goswami was speaking, was 88,000. I remember the question that I had wanted to ask was Jaimini Rishi, was he among those, how did he hear, was he among the 88,000 who heard from Suta Goswami, and then that's how he was able to tell Janamejaya? You know, how did he hear?
Jaimini specifically heard, it is mentioned that he specifically heard when Uttara was hearing from her son Parikshit, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
He was present while Parikshit was telling Uttara.
Yes, he was present.
Can you repeat?
Yeah, he mentioned that he personally sat next to Parikshit while he was relating the story to Uttara.
Okay. Do we know if he was the only one present?
As of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is concerned, he says, I sat. He doesn't talk about the other sages or anyone.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Dhanot Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Wonderful, wonderful class, and so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're starting the second part. Very excited for this. Mataji, can I ask a couple questions? Maybe three?
Yes, Mataji. Generally, your questions are very difficult.
Go ahead. Everyone has an answer to it. So, one is, was there an appendix to the Srimad Bhagavatam also, just like what you said about Mahabharata?
No.
Okay. Second one is, do we know about who Parikshit was in his previous life? How was he able to see Lord Sri Krishna right when he was in the womb, even before being born?
I'm not aware. Anyone knows, by any chance? I'm not aware of his past birth history. Does anyone? Yeah, I mean, on the call, does anyone know? Okay,
Mataji. Also, when we're talking about Vaikuntha, is there only one Vaikuntha Loka or are there multiple Vaikunthas?
Yeah, so generally when we use the term Vaikuntha, we mean the spiritual world. But specifically, the term Vaikuntha to most people is only known as the abode of Lord Narayana. General understanding of the world is that Vaikuntha means it's the abode of Lord Narayana, Lakshmi Narayana. And generally, they are all aware of this portion called as Haridhama. That is actually only a portion of Vaikuntha. Okay, so Vaikuntha has other realms as well. So, you know, sometimes it is described, you know, when you see the Goloka chart, you see that there is another lotus, that is Goloka Vrindavan, right? So generally, the whole spiritual world can be called by the name Vaikuntha, or specifically some people call only Haridham as Vaikuntha. Okay, because the other lotuses, like the other places, have different names, like Goloka Vrindavan, Ayodhya Dham, Dwaraka, like that. So therefore, this special abode of Goloka Vrindavan is seen separate from the Haridhama as we are aware of, as generally common people are aware of. Not we, common people.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, Vaikuntha has different, you can call it chambers, or you can call it different planets. And the topmost planet in the spiritual world is Goloka Vrindavan.
Okay, so
like a material world, you have many planets. Spiritual world also, there are different abodes, different planets.
Right. So Dwaraka and Jagannath Puri and Mathura Dham, all of those would come under Goloka Vrindavan or
Vaikuntha? No, no, no. It's under Vaikuntha only. Goloka Vrindavan is separate. Yeah. So when you see the Goloka chart, you will see that, you know, these are all bordering. They are outside, they are bordering Haridhama. But Goloka Vrindavana is a separate lotus. Mathura, Dwaraka are all outside. Because, you know, any element of awe and reverence is not allowed inside Goloka Vrindavan, right?
Okay. So where is Shweta Dweep in that then?
Shweta Dweepa is a common name you will find in many places. Inside this material universe, there is one Shweta Dweepa, which is Shirodakashayi's Vishnu's abode. Okay, that is also called a Shweta Dweepa. Then you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abode is also called a Shweta Dweepa. That is there in the spiritual world, bordering Goloka Vrindavana.
Okay.
I think if you refresh the Goloka chart, you should be able to remember. Okay. You know that four sections around the lotus, and then there you will see it's written as Shweta Dweepa. The white portion is Shweta Dweepa. The pink lotus is Goloka. That is Lord Chaitanya's abode.
Okay, so it's between the Dwaraka, Mathura and Jagannath Puri and the pink lotus.
if we ask beyond Dwaraka Jagannath Puri and all that, beyond that.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Indu Mataji. Thank you very much. Anyone has any questions, comments, or realizations, corrections?
Just quickly, that name that was mentioned for Tulsi Devi, Krishna Jivana, is that one who gives life to Krishna? Is that the translation for that one? Krishna Jivana.
One who who lives for Krishna, right? Krishna Jivani, Jivani, or one who derives life from Krishna.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you. Jivani.
Jivani, whose life is Krishna also.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So if there are no more questions, comments, we can end the call. Vansha Kalpataru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Shla Prabhupada Ki Jai
Jai
Brihat Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai
Jai Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji Ki Jai
Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. All glories to all the devotees. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Priti Vilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna.
All glories to all the
Hare Krishna Priti Vilasini Gopi Dandar Prahan. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Mataji.